Before we sing the last verse, I have a question, and I don't know. I have a question. I haven't yet answered it, so I don't know if I know the answer or not. But here's my question. Did Peter and James and John and those disciples of Jesus have life before they went to the upper room, or not the upper room, but that room where in Jerusalem they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Did they have life before they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now I'm thinking. I think I know the answer. Do you know the answer? What do you think it is?
Yes, they did. When they
go. All right. I just answer a question, Brother Frank. I mean, don't preach the rest of the sermon for me. He said yes, and I agree with him. I think they did. They must have. They must have had life, and they were alive unto God. They knew what it was to have a relationship with Him. Now, it's probably something different. I have a hard time, okay, trying to understand what they experienced. Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross, but yet their sins were forgiven based on what He would soon do for them. Salvation, when He came, had come. He was the embodiment of the Lamb of God. And there were, I guess, this time period that was a little, to me, ambiguous as to where we actually stand. I know where we are now, and I know where we were back in the Old Testament, but I believe that these disciples had life. And they exhibited some sort of life. They were changed. And we can talk about all the changes that you can see. Now, they needed a lot more, though, did they not? It seems Peter could use a little more help, as changed as he was. Now, he's, by the Spirit of God, confessed who Jesus was. He knew Jesus was the Christ, and that Jesus was the Son of the living God. He didn't know that because he read it in catechism. He was told that by some rabbi someplace. He knew that because Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't told that or revealed that to you, but that is a revelation that's come to you by my Father who is in heaven. So Peter had this experience. He had life. He knew Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. Now, I wonder if I'd ask you, did Peter have abundant life? He had life. Did he have abundant life? Or when was it that he received abundant life? What do you think? Okay, Brother Frank, I agree. Anybody else? You didn't hear him, did you? When did Peter experience abundant life? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Peter, listen, don't dare try to do this without that power. Don't go out there because you know me, you've seen me, you know who I am, you've confessed who I am, and you've even seen miracles wrought at your hands. Don't you dare do that. And don't let James or John or anybody else do that either, because you have life, but you need abundant life if you're going to do what I called you to do, because you can't do that without my strength. And without me, you can't do anything. You need abundant life. Life? Yeah, life is good. But is abundant life better? And I'm glad Jesus in John 10 said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Maybe this morning we have life. You have life. I have life. I'm not talking physically. We all have physical life. But we have spiritual life. You know who Jesus is. You know who Jesus is, not just because you heard about it in church or Sunday school. You met Jesus. You know Jesus. You know that He is the Savior. He took away your sins. And you have good reason to praise the Lord because He's forgiven all your iniquities. You know, when Brother Tom was talking, I thought, Brother Tom hasn't been forgiven any more than I've been forgiven or any less than I've been forgiven. He's forgiven me the same amount as He's forgiven Brother Tom, and that is all our iniquities, all of our transgressions. And you know that, and you've experienced that. But there is abundant life. Now, we did talk about it a few days ago. We talked about it when we read from Joel. remember the whole story of Joel and the locusts and the ravaged. But if you come, I want to forgive you. So come and bring words with your coming to me and ask me for forgiveness and you'll be forgiven. And they did. But then afterward, I will pour out my spirit. Afterward. And that's the abundant life that there is. That really does transform. You can't really explain it or put it into words, but you can experience that life, that abundance of life. And I kind of think there may be gradations all the way through, but he would like to fill us with his fullness, and he would like to lift us into that abundance that he has for us. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. And we need, in the days in which we live, don't dare try to go out there and pull off ministry. Well, that's not right. Go find people to wait on tables in Acts chapter 6. They were serving the Lord. They were happened to be all male waiters. We used to have, or we still do have, male waiters every once in a while. Anybody been a male waiter? I was. For a little while, you were male waiters. See, we still have them. But you know what the qualifications for male waiters were back in those days? Choose you out among you seven men who are of honest report, full of faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. What, to serve tables? Yeah, don't you dare try to do that in your own strength. No. Lord, help us. More abundantly. Now that last verse says, come to him believing. Come to him believing. Hearken to his call. All from him receiving. Yield to him your all. Jesus will accept you. I was in a meeting. It was at the end of a meeting, and Brother Bob Collis was closing that meeting, and he said, now we're about ready to close the meeting. So are we. We don't have much time. But in just a little while, we'll be closing the meeting, Brother Bob said. But in this few short moments before we close the meeting, God can do more for you in 60 seconds. That can change your whole life. Come to him believing. Open your heart to him and receive from him by faith. By faith. You know, when we sang about prayer before, and we have so many illustrations in the Bible of those who came believing and came in faith, knowing in the Word of God. I think of George Mueller. Maybe you know his story and you've read it before, but the man who started an orphanage and had many children that he was responsible for. How many of you know that children cost money? Or are yours free? Well, not unless you send them out to work and give them a shoeshine kit or something, but they cost money. And maybe more. Somebody, who is it? Was it maybe somebody here was telling me that four or five of his or her, their children were starting college that year. Anybody here say that to me? Who was it? Somebody up at camp told me. All five of their kids, or four, one or the other. It doesn't, four or five, but still. How can you pay for four children going to college? I hope they all had scholarships, full scholarships. Anyway, they cost money back in George Mueller's day, too. And he had to take care of them, and he had to feed them. And there came that one famous story where they didn't have any food. They had no food in the kitchen. I saw the big truck come in yesterday, so I know you got food down there. So don't try to pull this off on us. We're savvy to it. But nothing. And George Mueller got up that morning, and he just brought it to the Lord in prayer. Nothing happened. Didn't see any food coming down the pike, and no promise of it. But he just had a confidence. I'm coming to him believing. He's given me this orphanage and responsibility to take care of all these kids, and he's not going to let me down. These kids are hungry. And so he had them all gather around the breakfast table, all in their little, all up in the palace, all around the tables. There's no food in the kitchen. The waitress has got nothing to serve, nothing to do. The cook has cooked nothing. And then George Mueller begins to pray. Pray for what? He's praying and thanking God for the food that they didn't have. Now, I'll tell you right now, I don't know that I have that faith. I mean, I could go through the motions, and we could all go through the motions, and we could all pray the rain away. It's not going to happen, at least not according to your or my faith, perhaps. Others in the Word of God had that kind of a faith, and maybe there will be an occasion where God will give you that faith to believe Him for the impossible in that realm. But George Mueller had that confidence. He had that faith in God. And so he closed his eyes and he starts now. If I were him, I would have prayed a long prayer, like maybe through lunch or give somebody a clue as to the opportunity. But he prayed, he bowed in prayer, and there was, you know what that was? That was a knock at the door. Somebody knocked at the door. It was the guy in town that was the baker. And the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night. And just put on his heart that he should go to his store, bakery, and bake some fresh baked bread and deliver it to the orphanage. Wouldn't that be nice? Nice. And just as that knock came at the door and George Mueller said, Amen. They opened up the door and there was that load of fresh baked bread. Hot off out of the oven. I don't know if they have any butter or apple butter or any, but if bread is that soft and that fresh and that good, you don't even need butter. It just was so good for these boys to eat, and I don't know if they understood it, and George Mueller just kind of expected it. This is not outlandish, over-the-top kind of stuff. This is what I expected. That's when I prayed in expectation, and when I pray believing, I then can have the potential to receive if I come to Him believing. Because I know that all things are possible to him that believes. And so Mary and Martha and all the rest of you guys around here, we need to move that stone away from the sepulcher. But he's dead already, 4 days. And by this time, you need to move the stone away from the sepulcher because, well, I could get him out if I wanted to, but I want somebody to exhibit some kind of faith, and it might be very simple, but moving the stone away at least is an exhibition of a little bit of faith, maybe like the grain of mustard seed. Because you're not going to move the stone away if you don't think that anything could happen, that Jesus is able to do something. So let's at least take the first step. And they rolled the stone away, and you know the rest of the story, and you know the words of Jesus. Said I not that if you would believe, that you would see the glory of God? What's diabetes? What's cancer? What's your headache? What's the malady and the sickness? By whose stripes I am healed? It's His name. It's His name. And with that name is associated a promise. I am who I am. I am the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15 tells us. And Jesus Christ is the same. Come to Him believing. Come to Him believing. Oh Lord, do I have a promise? Do I have a promise that you are able to forgive all my iniquity? That you're able to give me victory over every sin? Yes, I can save to the uttermost those who come to God. I can take away the desire and the yen for what was in the past. I can make all things new, and I can give you victory and lead you from victory to victory. Come to Him believing. Hearken to His call. All from Him receiving. Yield to Him your all. This promise is to you and your children, Peter preached, and to as many as the Lord your God shall call. And I'm so thankful this morning that the promise stands. The promise stands. And don't waver at the promise through unbelief. That's easy to do. Well, I don't know if it's easy for you to do. It's easy for me to do. But it's kind of like impossible. Like, your only son Isaac, who you love, kill him up there on Moriah and then come back. And I don't get this very well. But Abraham believed God's word. And he reckoned that God would have to then raise the dead, I guess. I don't know. If I kill Isaac, I'm not going to have another child somewhere, and the promise is going down the drain, and the promise is through the child that I'm about ready to kill. I don't know. Believing? A stagger. But Abraham didn't. Lord, are you able to do that for my life? Are you able to give me such a persuasion that you are not only ready, willing, and able, all of the above, to fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me life, not just initially, but give me abundant life? Well, I trust you're convinced. I'm not convinced because I said so, or you think so, or somebody else told you, or you read it in the last book that you read, but God said it. God said it. So if God said it, what do? God said it. Okay, there you go. God said it, and you? Do you? Do I? Well, if you and I do, then that settles it. So, Lord, I'm going to hunger and thirst. I'm going to seek until I find, because I know that that door is going to be opened unto me, because everyone that asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks the door is opened. And if my earthly father knew what to do to give me something that I liked at Christmas, how much more will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to me if I ask him and come to him believing? We're going to sing that last verse in just a second, but before we do, let's just pray. Let's just go to him. Let's bring our petition, our request to him. Let's use words, and not my words. You use words. Maybe this right now. Maybe audibly, maybe not. Maybe in your heart. But right now, you can ask. You can ask him. You can talk to Jesus. And you can say, Lord, this is the promise. This is what you said. I'm not saying it. I'm just pointing it out to you. You said it. But I believe it. I believe it, Lord. I believe this promise is for me. And I want life abundantly. And I want to live in the Spirit. And I want to walk in the Spirit. And I want out of my innermost being to flow rivers of living water. Because that's what you spake. It's what you said of the Spirit, that they which believe should receive. So, Lord, give me abundant life. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Lord, help us. We come to you right now, Jesus. We ask of you, Lord. Father, throughout this rest of this morning meeting and these last few minutes, oh, Jesus, what can you do in a minute that could change our lives for eternity? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, give me this water. Give me my portion. Jesus, I receive from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Let's stand together and sing that third stanza, 123, if you closed your book.
Come to him believing, hearken to his call, all from him receiving, yield to him your all. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you will give, you will give, you will give, oh God, more abundantly, Jesus, more abundantly.
I thirst, O Lord. Give us, O Lord, in these few moments, pour out your Spirit. Hallelujah, we need you, Lord. Hallelujah, we open our heart, O Lord. We open our soul to you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Give, O Lord, Lord, life, life in you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, fresh anointing. Sons and your daughters shall prophesy. On your handmaidens pour out your Spirit, Lord, to be used more for thee. Yes, Lord, we receive, dear Lord. Hallelujah, we receive, Jesus, all of your fullness, all of your grace, all of your glory we take, Lord. We take you, Lord. We receive you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, as always, when we close a meeting, it doesn't mean Jesus is finished working. You know, D.L. Moody, that preacher of yesteryear, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was walking down the streets of Manhattan. How in the world can you possibly get anything good out of Manhattan? Well, he was walking down the street, and oh, he just was overwhelmed with the sense of the glory of God and the presence of God. Just walking down Fifth Avenue, and Jesus just came to him. He said, I had to get off the street. I had to get back to the place he was staying. And he shut himself in his room then, and the glory of God just marvelously came down. And the abundance of life filled that man and changed him. As Brother Tom said, he was different, different. Saved before he walked that walk, yeah, but different when he finished that walk. Because right there, not in a meeting, not in church, not when everyone was praising the Lord, but just that yearning and that desire in his heart as he walked through the day. And as you walk up and down these grounds and these roads, Jesus is here. And we realize and we know that, but Jesus is wherever you're hungry for him. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And D.L. Moody made his bed in hell, but he found Jesus is there. And there's an abundance of life right there. And so you could expect, believe that who knows when. Somewhere today, you might just have to dart off the beach because Jesus is coming to you. You need to get alone in your room and let the Lord continue that work. I don't know when or how or where or why, but be being filled with the Spirit. Lord, as we go into this day, go with us and continue to work in us. And may we feel the sense of prompting, the wooing, the drawing of your Holy Spirit. Bless those that go, Lord, those that go back to California. Lord, as they drive down to New York and take the plane back home again, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless them this day. Lord, and that as they journey, they'll sense Jesus in his presence and your continual working in their hearts and lives. Lord, others that leave, that go down to the city, be with them. Cover them with your precious blood. We pray again for those that are coming this direction, Lord, that you'll watch over them, protect them. We pray for Brother Paul again this morning. Lord, that you'll continue to help and strengthen him and bring him back to us safely and speedily, Lord, we pray. We commit ourselves to you this day. Give the staff strength as they prepare, as they work. And Lord, the busyness of this day, give them the strength they need. And cover these grounds with your precious blood and with your presence. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. 8 o'clock tonight in the meeting. Tonight, 8 o'clock.